It's the After the Snow podcast. We back with you guys again every week, like we always do. I'm your co-host, Dave Mays, and I got my illustrious co-host with me.
You already know who it is. Man, it's been a crazy week, Dave.
Yeah.
You in LA? You've been in LA, and I'm in Chicago, man. What's with that?
Yeah. It was crazy. I was in your backyard, and you were in mine. And I'm back in Chicago now. You guys can see the background. This is the Chicago skyline. I just got back this morning. I was in LA all week, and it was nice. I mentioned last week that we were going to be starting the new podcast with Bill Bellamy.
How'd it go?
It went great. I mean, the way we're doing it, you got to come next week. It's a studio right on Hollywood Boulevard, where the Walk of Fame is. So that's that sidewalk that everybody's seen with all the stars in the side, in the sidewalk, and it goes up and down Hollywood Boulevard in Hollywood. And the studio is in glass, and it's right on the boulevard, so people walking down the street can stop and look at what's going on in the window. We didn't announce it or anything, but there was a crowd of people that was building once we got going. And we're gonna add the sound out there so that people can actually hear it while they're standing outside. They can hear what's going on. And I think in a few more weeks, once we get people know we're gonna be there, like every Tuesday or whatever, we're gonna start to see some nice crowds outside there, and it's just a cool, experience.
Oh, no question. Just to have that glass on Hollywood Boulevard, I mean, that's ESPN. That's major, man.
Yeah,
that's major. You doing big things, as always, Dave.
Oh man,
and I'll definitely be there next Tuesday. It just so happened next Tuesday I'm not on the road. Which I am glad. I'm ready to go home, spend some time in LA, man. All these different weathers and don't get it twisted though. I've been loving the people. It's been crazy. Matter of fact, last night I was in the airport and this lady was like, "Oh, I just love After the Snow. Oh, I love it. I love it. I watch every single show."
Oh man, thank you.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. The show's starting to catch on, man. People are watching, man. They want to hear. They want to hear, man, what we talking about. So
man, that's good.
It's been shocking, man. I spoke in Chicago too.
Tell me
Inglewood,
about it.
Inglewood. We spoke over in Inglewood at a kind of like a little youth center. It looks like it was an old school at one time, but now they turned it into a community center. And so we were doing an expungement clinic there with Indica and Bo Money. And man, one of my jailhouse buddies came over, man. Somebody I hadn't seen since we used to walk the track together. We both had life sentences. When he got out of ADX, I started teaching him how to shepherdize in the law library, and we would go to business classes together, and this was our first time seeing each other. And I invited him on the stage. When I spoke, I invited him up, so he spoke, and it was crazy, man. He was a GD too. He was on Larry Hoover's case. Matter of fact, he was the second guy, I believe, on the indictment. Behind Larry. So, he got up and he told everybody how, even though when I had my life sentence, that I always used to tell everybody, "Man, I'm getting out of here. I'm getting out of here." And so I got my life sentence off, and then he got his life sentence off, and another guy that we used to hang with got their life sentence off. So it kind of became contagious, and when you hear the story, it kind of lets people know that once people see somebody accomplish a certain goal that people think is almost impossible, to give them the strength and the courage to do the same thing. And then he wrote a book too, man. A book too, man. It was like, it was just crazy, man, just to get to see somebody, you know, and that you ain't seen in 20 years and used to walk the track with, and you guys were both under the same kind of pressure.
Man, that's amazing, man. That is. That's a blessing, man. What's his name?
Bible.
Bible. Okay.
Bible. And you know what? I don't even know his real name. But, yeah. Because, you know, in the streets, we don't really care about real names and last names. But I definitely wanted to. I'm going to make the introduction with you because I know you guys are working on the Larry Hoover story. So
yeah,
he's definitely somebody that should be talked to.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I know about Bible. We haven't spoken to him yet, but I know about him now that you mention him. Because with Breakbeat, we're doing a 10-part series, the life story of Larry Hoover, the first time it's ever going to be told in depth and in a very accurate way that's going to really explain everything and give, you know, a proper perspective. So we're really hard work. We've been working on that almost a year, and can't wait for that.
I got somebody else you're gonna need to talk to too. Okay. Gangsta Boo, she came by.
Okay.
Gangsta Boo was in one of the state pens, and she was telling us about the story when they got ready to bring Larry to the pen. How they called this was a co-ed pen too. You had men and women.
Oh.
And they called all the heads of the pen, you know, to the lieutenant's office or the captain's office or something like that there. And they was asking everybody who had problems with Larry Hoover coming to the yard.
Huh.
And she told a little story about that. I think that would be interesting as well for what you're doing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, when I see something that I think will help, I'm gonna bring it to you.
Yeah. Shout out to Larry Hoover Jr. and Larry Hoover's wife and Larry Hoover Jr.'s mother, Miss Wendy, you know, who I've been working closely with. And, you know, everybody's working really hard to get him home. He does qualify for release under the law, but there's a judge that can use his, you know, discretion and so far has denied him. But there's a major appeal that's being filed. They got some new lawyers. Kanye West helped bring in somebody to add to the legal team. I got Justin Moore, and now Jennifer Bonjean are working on that case very hard. So there's, you know, a lot of hope that he will be able to come home. You know, so.
Yeah, it's been long enough, man. How long he's been in, like 30, 40 years?
Almost 50. I mean, he went to jail in like 73. So going on 50 years. He's been in the Supermax since maybe 97. So that's a good 25 in Supermax, which, you know what that's all about.
Yeah. That place there is something else. Never been there, but I heard a lot of stories about it. I've met guys that come from there, you know, and they have to readjust just to, you know, people might think that it's crazy that you have to adjust to get back to the penitentiary. But when they leave Supermax, they have to readjust inside of the penitentiary. So
you in Washington, D.C. now. So I just want to let folks know and tell everybody what you're doing there, because you got some good stuff happening out in my home. Now you're in my hometown, Washington, D.C.
It's crazy. I didn't know that. I'm thinking you was from Boston, man. And probably everybody else did too.
Yeah, no, D.C.
Yeah, I'm down in D.C. One of my guys fight this Saturday, Anthony Peterson. Going to be exciting. And Anthony's probably going to be my first guy that we get a shot at the title with. You know, we figure Anthony would be fighting for a title in about two more fights. If you're in the D.C. area, come out, check us out. Call me, hit me up. I got tickets. I got 10 more tickets left. So, you know, it's going to be a sold-out crowd. So come holler at us. Also, we're going to be doing an after party for Anthony as well. I don't know where that's going to be, but, you know, we're going to be turned up down here in D.C., man. I'm loving D.C. already.
Oh man, that's good. Yeah, because you haven't been there like in a long time or what?
Long time, like
Yeah.
4 years maybe.
Okay.
You know, I hung out here quite a few times with my boy Goretti. You know, Goretti, the one who you just met today.
Yeah.
And when he found out you was his homeboy, he had a fit. Man, why you ain't put the city on?
Shout out to get ready, man.
Yeah. So,
We're gonna put some things together.
no doubt. But that's pretty much it right now in DC, man. I'm enjoying myself. Been going around today to a couple barber shops, and you know, went to the vegan restaurant and got me some sweet potatoes and macaroni and cheese.
Okay. Yeah, I saw you started like what, reviewing some of these restaurants. I saw something you did.
Yeah. I started, you know, somebody been telling me that I ought to become the vegan critic for vegan restaurants, since I've you know, I've probably eaten in vegan restaurants in just about every state, you know. So they were telling me that should be another one of my jobs, you know, since I'm there anyway, might as well give it a rating. So I've been doing that a little bit. Not like I should, but it's kind of fun.
Now you got me thinking because I'm vegan as well, so I always like to go places and try different vegan restaurants and see how they're doing things in every city I go to. And actually, Larry Hoover Jr. is very close to vegan. He eats, primarily vegan. And so yeah, I'm just thinking something where, it has different people such as yourself, myself, possibly Larry Jr., where, we all are doing it wherever we're going, and it's kind of collectively being shared with people. It becomes like a vegan, restaurant network of people talking about that people don't know, because a lot of people don't know that you're
Well, I don't know.
vegan.
I'll be looking for vegan joints when I go. Like,
Right.
which one is good? Which one is, you
Right.
know? So, that may be a good idea, man. If we do something like that and start giving people some direction, because sometimes
Yeah.
you go to them joints and, man, I went to one joint and the food was so salty, I didn't know what to do. I was like, damn, is this vegan?
won't say that where that was,
No,
but
I ain't gonna bust them out. I ain't gonna bust them out, but they better clean their act up, because you know what? If you don't, the customers will.
Well, let's get into snowfall. This is after the snow, and we are going back through season one right now. We're up to episode four, which the title is Trauma. And we both watched this, and we're going to talk about it. I mean, it's basically three main storylines going on throughout this episode, which is, Franklin and Leon and their whole journey to try to get their money back and Franklin's money back. Teddy being in the jungle and everything going on with him and his new partner Alejandro. And then, of course, you got Oso with the cousins Lucia and Pedro and their whole situation. So we see all those things unfolding on this week's episode. What stood out to you? What were some of your first thoughts?
Well, really, with the two the two cousins and Oso, you know, really stood out to me that now that they had sent Oso in and Oso committed this murder, they using that against Oso now. You know, they telling Oso that they'll go to the dad and let him know that he killed his man. And I'm like, well, how would he know? If you go and tell him this, then he's gonna know that you set the guy up, because Oso had no clue who this guy was. So I'm just, you know, really watching these two double crossers. You know how they really twisting and turning. And I still didn't see, you know, the girl starting to catch feelings for Oso yet. I'm waiting for that to happen as well. But this was kind of, for me, this was kind of a slow episode. You know, nothing really exciting really took place for me. They went and killed another guy, you know, to make up for the first guy that they killed. I guess they're trying to frame this guy that they killed to say he was the guy that killed the other guy.
So their plan eventually works after them, you know, really being worried about this. I guess we don't see the actual, you know, struggle that happened, but they did show up at this guy's house and surprised him, the three of them. And there was some kind of a struggle. Apparently, you know, Oso gets knocked out at one point. We see it at the beginning. We see her pulling something out of her hair, which I think was like a ring, a bloody ring or something, like looked like from being in a fight with the guy they were trying to kill that they did kill, because apparently he was on her, and Oso had got knocked out. So, but they managed to kill the dude, get him out of there, and we see them now back at the safe house, you know, trying to figure out their next moves. And then they get the page from Pedro's dad, like, you know, 911 to come on down, and they're all worried, you know, did they get away with it?
And they still got the body in the trunk.
Right.
You know, the last that you see is also open up the trunk, and you can see the guy, his bloody body still in there. Really confusing to me on these parts of the episode. I don't know why they went through all of this trouble to get some money when they probably could have just went to the dad and told him they want to go into another line of work. I mean, that seemed like that would have been the logical thing to do to me.
Yeah. I didn't realize that cocaine is an anesthetic. So we see apparently Oso got stabbed or something in this fight with killing this guy. And Lucia is stitching him up, and he's screaming in pain. And she throws some cocaine on there and, you know, numbs the pain.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a number. You know, matter of fact, they used to use it before. Dennis used to use. As a matter of fact, they still use what they call Novocaine, I think. Mm-hmm. Or they used to use Novocaine as well. But cocaine and Novocaine are like cousins, and they both numb you. You know, if you if you use enough cocaine, it even if you just touch it, you start holding on to it, you'll start losing your feel in your hand where you can't really touch. And people who snort it numbs their nose and in their throat, to where they can't feel anything. So yeah, you're absolutely correct. It is anesthetic.
Hmm. Interesting stuff. So and then while we're talking about Oso, you know, who we said, you know, in the past, we like him. And
he's a likable guy. I mean, yeah. You know, he seems like he's really loyal. You know, he told both of them, you know, like, why would you steal from your dad?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So this guy, he has some type of morals. I mean, you know, they say criminals have no loyalty and no what's the other word that they use? I can't think of it right now, but basically no loyalty, you know, you can't trust a criminal, but I feel like Oso is the kind of guy that, you want to have your back. If he got your back, you good.
Yeah, he's also like somebody with a plan, who has plans and dreams, because he's talking about, you know, how he wants to build this new boxing gym, and he's telling Lucia all these ideas once he gets this money that you know, they've told him he should be making all these things he wants to do. And that's a little different, because, you know, not all the characters caught up in the drug business are talking about things that they want to do and plans that they have.
No, most of them are talking about objects they want to buy, you know, cars, jewelry, clothes, mm-hmm. you know, things that's going to make them look good right now, and not things that's going to help them become wealthy in the future.
Yeah.
So that's good that he has that mentality. I mean, that's the mentality I had when I went in. You know, I wanted to get me some type of business that would get me out the game. You know, I kind of base my strategy on Superfly. You ever saw Superfly?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know how he was getting out the game? That's the way I, when I went in the game with the intention of getting out the game. So, right. And I see also kind of have a similar wish.
So let's talk a little bit about Teddy and what's going on with him and what we're learning about him. So the end of the last episode, of course, he comes back from dealing with his baby moms and his son, and finds out that what's his name? Alejandro has bounced, took all the weapons. He's, you know, gave up on scratching off the serial numbers, and he's gone. So of course, you know, Teddy calls in, gets some satellite, you know, imagery, and figures out where they are in the jungle. And all of a sudden he's down there in the jungles of Nicaragua, running up on
tracking Alejandro. Him down.
Yeah.
Tracking him down. Well, you know, Teddy has some type of superpowers. And I guess, you know, everybody believes that the CIA agents or these like super mysterious special guys. So I guess that they had to give him that type of persona in the show, you know.
Right. And we've talked about that before with him. And, you know, because he's kind of like this, you know, low-key, kind of goofy type of dude, he seems. But he does have these special powers.
Until he goes to work. Right. Almost like Superman. You know, Superman, you know, he walks around, he got these goofy glasses on. But then when he puts that cape on, you know, it's like, uh-oh.
Uh-huh.
You know, woke him up. So, yeah. And it kind of seems like that with Teddy, you know, like he's a sleeper.
Yeah, I was going to say his spidey sense kicked in because, you know, remember, he's the one that figures out that the little kid that's in the camp there is actually a spy for the Contras and had planted a transmitter in the tree. And, you know, how did he figure that out? He said, oh, you know, I just didn't get a good feeling. I didn't trust the kid. And, you know, I saw this, I saw that, but, you know, definitely his superpower spidey sense helped him figure that out that no one else could.
Yeah. Yeah. Teddy is definitely something special. And I can't wait to see what all the things he's going to be doing in the series.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then they start to scratch the numbers off. He got him to start to scratch the numbers off, off the weapons. Something that I guess he felt that was a must. And some of those logics that he made definitely made sense, you know, because they was gonna come back to this guy, and if they come back on the guy's definitely gonna tell.
Right. So the other thing I noticed about Teddy, if you remember, he's sitting there talking to Alejandro's wife, and the wife says, you know, oh, do you have any kids? And Teddy's like, no. And he's like, wait a minute. Yeah, I do. I have a son, my 2-year-old son. And so that shows, you know, this issue that's going on with him where he's just like, you know, so caught up in this job and his mission and what he thinks he's, you know, doing for the country, you know, that he's just forgetting that he has a kid and, you know, has just disconnected himself from his family, you know, for this. And
yeah
that's totally, something
totally committed.
Yeah. But
totally
that
committed.
That's something I can kind of relate to, you know, just from being an entrepreneur and, you know, the years that I was building the source, you know, from this piece of paper newsletter into what it became, you know, I just, you know, I kind of had my head down and I was just trying to keep building, making moves. And, you know, I really feel now in these last 5-10 years, as I've looked back on my life and those years that I spent, you know, I did have a disconnect from a lot of things. I didn't block them out like where I would forget I have a sister or a mother, but it was a psychological way of just being so focused on being an entrepreneur that it kind of stunted my growth in other areas of my life, my personal relationships and family and things like that.
Well, I think we all go through that. You know, I'm having some of the same problems with that right now. You know, that I'm on the road. You know, I've been going right now since last Tuesday. So, and then when I got back, I was only back in LA for one day. So, I got to see my family. I got home Sunday evening about 6 or 7. So I got to spend Monday with them, and then Tuesday I was on the road again. So you know, it's a certain sacrifice that has to be made when you're pursuing your dreams, and you absolutely can get caught up in those pursuits that you lose track. You know, I would definitely say when I'm doing my business, I don't want to think about nobody else. You know, I don't want to think about where my kids are. And I had to do that when I was in prison, too. You know, when I was in prison, I found myself wondering, you know, what people on the street were doing. And what I did is I had to get myself focused on that. What was happening on the streets, I had absolutely no control over. And what I did have control over was what was going on with me inside of that prison. And it's kind of cold, you know, I guess some people would say when you start to think like that. But those are the things that I believe gave me the advantage of eventually getting my case overturned, as well as being able to accomplish the things that I'm accomplishing right now from those sacrifices. Because, you know, you're sitting in prison, you know, I had a son that was gangbanging, and the guys from his neighborhood would come in, from his set would come in, and they would be telling me, "Oh man, your son only 16 years old. He fighting grown men. He knocking them out." Well, I already know that if you out knocking out grown men, that it's only a matter of time before one of them grown men gonna take a pistol and take care of you. You know, so you know, you worrying about those type of things and that are really out of your control. You know, there's absolutely nothing you could do. So I felt the best thing was for me to get myself out to where I could get there as fast as I could. And that's what I did. So I can kind of relate to him being so caught up in what he's doing that I mean, it's almost like a boxer. You know, when a boxer go in the ring, he should have nothing else on his mind but his trait, because every time they step in that ring, they're literally putting their life on the line.
So last but not least, let's talk about Franklin and Leon and what's going on with them this episode. They got pretty, you know, they had the most excitement probably that we're seeing this episode. Remember, you know, last week we left off that Carvel ended up taking all the money that they, you know, recovered after Franklin got robbed. But Carvel took it, and now Franklin's got to figure out what he's going to do. He went and got the pistol. We think it was from his uncle Jerome. And so we first, when this show comes on, the first thing we see with Franklin, he's having target practice under a freeway somewhere, you know, practicing
the river.
His aim.
That's the river in downtown LA.
Okay. So,
which is amazing that you take target practice over there. That's right down the street from the police. From the Twin Towers.
Okay. Yeah.
All the places to go take target practice, they go right to the police station.
Yeah. Well, he's down there practicing. Leon shows up, and, you know, Leon's making fun of him and tries to grab a gun from him. And they, you know, have a little struggle, and Franklin gets mad. But you know, Leon's trying to let him know it's, you know, you got to be ready, and you know, that may not be for you necessarily. You might want to let me handle
that. He ain't no gangster. Yeah. He ain't Lil Leon. You better let Lil Leon handle this. I've been out here in these streets. You know, you a good boy. You was working at the liquor store. Go back, work at the liquor store. Let these gangsters handle this gangster stuff.
Yeah, well, it's interesting to see, you know, kind of his evolution here, because remember when they had Lenny tied up in the house last week or whatever, Franklin didn't want to kill him. Remember, he tried to talk to him, thought he could reason with him so they wouldn't have to, you know, kill him or, you know, really injure him.
Beat him with that bat.
Beat him with the bat, any of that.
That boy would have beat him with that bat.
So Franklin wasn't ready to kill Lenny for stealing his money, but now he's faced with, you know, more than likely, you know, they're going to have to kill Carvel because he don't seem like the type of guy, you know, by any means you want to leave, you know, leave around if you go and, you know, confront
Carvel's
him.
A different animal.
Yeah.
He's a whole different animal. You know, he seemed like he's been through the ringer, you know. He just sexually assaulted the guy right in front of him.
Yeah.
You know, so broke the guy's spirit. I mean, the guy seemed like he was broken after Carvel left out that house. So
yeah.
They know they gotta come with it with Carvel.
Right. So they Leon finds out where Carvel's staying, and they casually just walk up to the crib. And of course, as they walk up, they see this Cadillac with the rims out front, and they're like, oh, Leon's like, that's where there's your money. He just went and spent it all. Leon seemed like he knows a little bit about cars and rims and stuff like that. What did you think of that car?
Yeah, definitely. The car was fly, and Leon is a more street dude, you know, and that's the kind of stuff that even more so relates to like my story, you know, where I can see where they kind of took that out of my story, because I played tennis up until I was 18 years old, and all my boys was low riding and stuff, but I didn't know nothing about low riding until after, you know, they told me that I wasn't gonna be going to college. So when they took me to the street races for the first time, I just fell head over heel over those cars. And Leon is more like Ollie was. Ollie already knew all that stuff. You know, he could tell you every rim, the paint job, and how the hydraulics work. And I was more of a novice. And he was telling me kind of similar to not similar, but, you know, you can see where it's kind of related. They kind of flipped the story around a little bit. And I see them doing that in inside these stories, you know, with words and phrases. They take them and turn them around a little bit and make them their own.
Mm-hmm. So they get to Carvel's house. Franklin has the gun. Leon's like, you sure? You ready to use it? What have you? And they go inside, and they end up finding Carvel. He seemed to be drunk. And kind of out of it, but he turns around and then he gets up and then he collapses in front of them. So Franklin didn't have to shoot him yet. And so apparently they pack him up in the trunk of the car and head off over to Avi's house. Their first idea is, you know, let's bring the car over to Avi's house and let him, you know, fix all this for us and get rid of Carvel for us and give him the car and hope he's going to be happy. But that didn't really work. Avi wasn't feeling that.
He wasn't feeling the car. He didn't want no car. I want some money. Yeah, where exactly. My money at?
Exactly. So Avi sends him back, man. He said, look, man, here's a shovel, and you know, you need to go handle your business. Says they should go to the Mojave Desert, and he wants his money, but they need to go handle their business. So they got Carvel in the trunk and they're driving, you know, trying to get to the desert, and all of a sudden, you know, there's a banging in the trunk, and they realize that Carvel is woken up. He's not dead, and he's going crazy in the back there, and they got to figure out what they're going to do. They're not far enough out of town, or you know, that they feel like they can pull over and do anything with him. They got to keep driving. Leon's singing. But it was interesting. It reminded me, you know, like of the Goodfellas scene, you know, at the beginning of Goodfellas, where they got the guy, you hear the guy in the trunk, you know, making noise or whatever. And, you know, they end up opening the trunk up and stabbing him right at the beginning of Goodfellas. So I was thinking that I was going to talk about that. And then I can't bring up Goodfellas without talking about what happened today. You heard about Ray Liotta?
No, I didn't.
He passed away today. You know, the actor who played, you know, Ray Liotta played Henry Hill in Goodfellas.
Right, right.
Yeah, apparently
he passed away today.
Yeah, he was only 67. He was in Dominican Republic, I guess, filming a movie, and they haven't, as of now, they haven't released any more information. But I think he passed away in his room last night. So, you know, rest in peace to Ray Liotta, man. You know, that was one of the best movies of all time. And he had an incredible, incredible role in that movie and a lot of others.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt. You know, only news I'll be watching be CNN. So only thing they've been playing has been the shooting of the 19 kids and the two adults. The short time I've been in the room, I haven't been in the room much today, though. I went in after we did the barbershop and took my shower and jumped up so I can get ready. You know, yeah. I've been keeping our show off all week. So I say, let me try to get ready and get this done today.
Right. You mentioned the shooting in Texas. I was going to talk about this a few minutes ago when you were talking about being in Chicago and what you were doing here yesterday. Because I seen, you know, this bullshit, I think this morning I'm looking on social media, they have a highlight of the governor in Texas speaking about the shooting of the kids in the elementary school. And he's talking about, well, we got to keep it in perspective that, like, you know, there's more people get killed in Chicago every day, you know, due to gun violence than how many kids got shot here in Texas or something. Wow, like that, where he's trying to.
Yeah.
I was pissed, man. I couldn't believe this is I think he's the governor of Texas, if I'm correct, or a senator from Texas.
Well, the Republicans, they've been, you know, they've been tiptoeing around gun control and you know, they. I mean, I heard one the other day that they were interviewing him, and I can't even think of his name right now. You know, I'm bad with names. But anyway, they kept asking him about would he change his vote now on gun control about taking assault rifles off the street. You know, stop allowing 18-year-olds to buy assault rifles. And, you know, he was talking about God and pray for the families and everything to get around. Do he think assault rifles should be on the street? And it was crazy. They had an expert to come on, and the expert was talking about that these guns are made to tear flesh and to break bones. So why are they needed on the streets? And the senator would not say that he would change his vote.
Man, it's just terrible, man. Just,
and I'm not Democrat nor a Republican. You know, right. it don't make me no difference. You know, I'm none. I probably would be considered an independent, but you know, there's certain things that just make sense. You know, we should not be allowing, you know, 18-year-olds to buy assault rifles that can do so much damage. And you know, that they were talking right before I left the room. They were talking about the police knew the guy was inside a classroom and the police didn't attack. Well, if they feel like they outgunned, you know, nobody wants to get killed. You know, it's hard for somebody to go in thinking that they're going to lose right off the bat. You know, mm-hmm. Nobody's going into no war knowing that they're going to lose. So with these guys with these high power rifles and these assault rifles, it's hard for the cops to go in there with their 12 gauge shotgun and their pistols. I mean, we saw what happened with the security guard, you know, there in the supermarket a couple weeks ago when he killed what was that, 5 or 6 people?
More than that, like 11 something.
Was it 11?
I think so.
Yeah, so it's getting crazy.
It is, man. I mean, we could do a whole show talking about this stuff. But man, so we got to wrap this up. You know, Franklin, bringing it back to the show, they end up taking care of Carvel and selling off the Cadillac, and Franklin sells his motorcycle. He has to part with his, you know, prized new toy motorcycle, and he goes to pay off Avi, and basically tells Avi he's out, you know, that's it for him. Avi's like, okay, cool, give him another 3 keys. And Franklin says, I don't want it. So
I too guess much.
It was too much for him.
I mean, he's been through a lot in a short period of time. You know, those are the kind of things that would make somebody quit. I can imagine if I'd have went through that my first week in the game or 2 weeks in the game.
So something tells me he's gonna change his mind. But as of now, it's weighing heavy on him having to kill Carvel. Because remember, he couldn't shoot Carvel. He passed the gun to Leon, let Leon do it. But he sat there and watched. And it's a lot for him. So we'll see how he handles it. Oh, the other thing that was funny, Rick, is that after they leave the car place, right, and Franklin and Leon walk outside and they part ways, I'll see you later or tomorrow, Franklin's walking off with the bag of money. He just got all this cash from the car dealer guy, and he didn't listen to your advice. You know, he's walking down the street with a bag of cash again by himself.
Well, you know, sometimes it's hard for people to learn. They don't learn, you know, the first time. They keep running to the same brick wall over and over again.
He's lucky he didn't get bopped again. He made it to Avi's and got settled up with Avi. But we're going to see what happens next week.
Well, next week I think it's going to be an interesting show. You know, we should be stepping up a little bit. It's cranking up.
Yeah. So we'll be back next week. I do have a tentative guest or two for next week lined up.
Who you got? Who you got coming?
Okay, well, one person who I ran into that's a Snowfall fan, and just you know, I just really got a chance to meet him is Vic Mensa, you know, the artist here from Chicago who's doing a lot, done a lot of things. Like him a lot, man, and he's a sharp dude who's doing a lot of, you know, good stuff both here, and he's doing things over in Africa. And he loves Snowfall, so he said he'll join us next week.
Seem like everybody's Snowfall fans, man. Everywhere I go, they big fans of Snowfall.
Yeah,
like I watch Snowfall all the time. And when I was in Nashville, Tennessee, man, it must have been like 30 people who came to the event. Like, I love Snowfall. Uh-huh. I love Snowfall, but I never see your name in the credits.
All right. Oh man. Wow. So hopefully, yeah, Vic will be with us all next week, so you guys can look forward to that. And Rick, man, thanks as always for making it happen, and great speaking with you.
Always, you know, so much respect for you, man. You know, you
and you,
you be turned up.
And you, so I'm gonna see you in LA next week. That's the plan right now. We're gonna be
Tuesday,
together.
I'm gonna book that on the calendar today. Make sure that I don't get booked and right. Somebody don't send me some money talking about, man, we need you here right now.
Right. Get here. Right. Yeah, we gotta call Echo to double up with him, make sure he knows.
So you got, Echo go down that list. He'd be looking for them dollar signs.
Yeah, no question. But yeah, we also hopefully going to do the whole thing in person for the first time. So we won't be virtual. We'll all be together in one place. Brett should be with me. So, you know.
Well, you know, it's always better when Brett's around.
It is. He's been.
Brett, don't forget nothing.
Brett, just so folks know, Brett is getting her master's right now from NYU, and she's been heavy, you know, dealing with finals and stuff like that for her classes, and that's one of the reasons we haven't seen her in a few weeks now, but she's going to be back, and we'll all be together next week, so shout out to my lady, Brett.
Shout out to Brett. Yeah. All right, man.
All right, Rick. Well, enjoy yourself in D.C.
Yeah, we're going to the go-go. We're going go-go in tonight.
I can't wait to see how you feel after you do that, because we were talking before. You've never been live to a go-go, and I'm telling you, you're gonna experience something new and different tonight. So I'm excited about that, and I'm hoping you're going to get up with my man, Kurt Bone, and be able to sit with him and do his podcast. I just did his show. So if y'all want to check it out, it's called, what's Bone's podcast called? Man, it's Kurt Bone TV on YouTube. And, you know, you can look it up. He's got a dope new podcast he just started. And I'm hoping you guys are going to be able to link up so he can interview you as well.
Oh, yeah. We're going to definitely try to do that. I know I got like 3 interviews tomorrow, but me and him talked, and we're going to definitely try to get it in before I leave. And don't forget, anybody here that wants to go to the fight, hit me up. I still got a few tickets left. Let's get it. Come see Anthony Peterson. Move to the top of the list.
Apollo. Trying to give my dog a camera. Come here, buddy. I don't know if he's going to. He's not ready. Come here.
He's camera shy, Dave.
Yeah. Not really. He's just, his mom's looking at him, so. All right. Well, we shall see you guys next week after the snow. Thanks for being here.
Thanks everybody for watching, and especially y'all that I saw this week who say you watch the show all the time. Love you.
Peace.